Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Welcome to our April 11th, 2022, meeting at 9 a.m. It's now on Monday. We do have one board member absent, Matt Soper. We'll start out with public comment, please. Go ahead.
Tom Stevenson, 321 Green Acres Lane, Elk Rapids Village and Township. I'm also the president of the Elk Rapids Board, a library board, excuse me. And so I just want to make publicly, officially let you know that we are, Nanette Miller is retiring. Friday will be her last day. And that we have already put together a selection committee. A bunch of rock stars from the region, from the district. I pulled them all in. And so we will start this process pretty soon of hiring a new director. We will be using, I believe, it's not official yet, but we will be using a professional consultant too to work with us this time. So, any questions?
Are you looking for any, what's kind of your hopes to find as far as, is it more to do with just the library or going forward with your projects or?
Going forward with just basically we're looking for, Aaron Hill is the temporary interim library director. And so one of our main issues is we want to put together more programs for the children. That's one of the big lack. And also look at what, we're also doing a needs assessment, a survey. You'll see that. Hopefully everybody takes that. COVID has changed the way we do things. We're seeing, like our website, the library website, we've seen twice as many hits on the website. We have had a lot of videos. People are using videos now. And with all the technology changing, we're getting a lot of demand to train the individuals how to use those iPhones and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll have bringing in somebody for that to help with that project. So as far as the library expansion project, we're waiting to hear what's going to happen with this Island House issue. So that's pretty much it's on the back burner right now. So
are you doing any types of studies going forward on the library locations or needs or?
Well, we're going to do a needs. We'll also this summer, once we do a survey, we've hired MCLS out of Lansing. They do the library studies, needs assessments, and values assessments for the communities. Recently, they just did Traverse City, did Leland, Mile, those kind of organizations, those kind of libraries. And one of the once we get done with the survey, we're going to run that about 6 weeks. Pretty much done with the questions. We're going to use their survey questions, not our survey questions. Pretty much their input to keep it as neutral as possible and use professional questions. And then we're going to do a values assessment and have meetings with the community to see what our what the values are and what do you expect from a library and what do you expect to see and what are your needs based on your values. I don't think we've ever done that for this community. So, and they're going to actually head it up for us. And we should have that done by the time the new director is hired. We'll have all that information and data so that staff, they can make those decisions based on the data that we find. So
kind of sounds like you're starting over at ground zero.
Yes, we are. We're forced to. We have to. And I think we're going to use as many outside consultants as possible. Neutral people, try to stay as neutral as possible so that we get a buy-in from all the different groups. So we have to. So I see no.
And just to clarify a couple of things, I know there's been some monies returned, but is there still a fund to build?
Yes, there still is a fund. I think it's, I have to look at it. It's about, we've still have the heifer fund still has about 300,000, and we've got another, I got to look at the numbers, 300,000 or 400,000 in donations. A lot of people just want a library. And so a lot of people have come up and said, find us a good spot, we'll re-donate, we'll put the money back in. That's pulled it out. So yeah.
So the fundraising part's still going on? And
we're not really, no, we're not fundraising, but nobody's wanting to pull their money out.
They'd like a direction?
They'd like a direction is what they're looking for. So.
Okay.
Yeah, right, and also tell them that there are a number of the people that took it back have said they will give it back once we figure out where we're going.
Right. Yeah, and there's some of the people said, well, it's sitting there doing nothing because it's a governmental entity. It's only drawing at 0.5% interest. And so they said, if I pull it back, I'll give it back, but I got better things to do with this money. I can put it someplace else, like the Friends. They can invest it. They're allowed to do that where we're not. As you know, we're locked into CDs. I think that's the most riskiest vehicle we have. So a lot of people said, I'll put it back, but I'm going to put it someplace else for the moment. So, especially the larger pieces.
We have a mattress upstairs.
You keep it in there.
Yeah, so that's about it. Yeah, so any other questions?
Anyone else got a question?
Good. We're good.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Terry Stites, 8056 Karen Highway. What's the width of the easement that, Dorrance, you want across your property for the sewer district?
Terry, this is for comments from the public. It's not Q&A. I'm not prepared to answer those questions.
All right.
Anyone else? We'll move on. Approval of the agenda. Anything needs to be changed? Added? If not, entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. For the record, Matt Soper is absent. Move on to the consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed on the consent agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Support.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify, excuse me, roll call vote.
Roll call, Halts?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes.
And Matt Soper is absent, motion carries. Move on to the Sheriff and Commissioner report. I'm seeing the Commissioner is not present, nor is the Sheriff. I do have the county report. So we had 3 911 checks, 7 driving complaints, 2 general assists, 6 medical calls, 9 traffic stops, for a total of 34 incidents for the month of March. I really don't have anything else on the sheriff or the commissioner, so we'll move forward to ambulance report. Mike?
For the month of March, there were, for Elk Rapids and the village of Elk Rapids, there was a total of 23 calls. There were 11 transports. There were 10 refusals and 2 calls that were canceled.
And there was a meeting. Was that last week, Mike? I wasn't present.
Last week.
And Acme Township now has a representative attending the meetings as well because they're in with Milton Township. So we do have a new attendee because Acme and Milton Township are joint together on their agreement with the MMR and also the Grand Traverse group. So going forward, we're going to have, as our supervisor, Doug White was present. So I'm assuming he'll be the one going forward. So just kind of an FYI.
Did Acme contract MMR?
Yes, they did. They signed on with Milton, Milton. Whitewater is my understanding. I don't know anything other than just that, but I think the agreement was to bring both of them on together because standing alone, neither one could, MMR didn't feel they could work out a program that would work, that was feasible for just one standalone, so they came in together.
Good for us.
Well, yes, and Acme, again, this is just secondhand. I don't know it exactly, so I don't want to be quoted, but it was my understanding they had 18-hour service up till the MMR program. And it's my understanding now that they would have 24-hour service. And what I meant by 18 hours, they had someone in their district or in their building slash township ambulance. And then the other hours, it came out of the Traverse City group on the off 6 hours. So, but now it's my understanding MMR has someone, if it's not in the building, but it's in that general region of service for Acme and Whitewater, 24 hours. So that's what I know on that. We'll move forward to Fire Department. Chief Williamson.
Good morning, Ken Williamson, Fire Chief. We had 9 incidents in March, which is pretty average for that time of year. Breakdown is attached. It really wasn't anything of note in the big structure fires or anything. A couple of carbon monoxide alarms and a couple of false alarms. We're down to 8. We lost a member. We're down to 18. One of our guys is moving out of town. Sad to see him go, but not much we could do there. We did meet, the ACES group met in Central Lake on the 23rd, discussed some of the issues that we're having with our new pagers that the county bought us. The 800 system is still not operational. We're still working on VHF. And right now, there's some issues at dispatch with getting an update after the initial page, and we're trying to get things worked out. Right now, we have to, after the initial page, if we want additional dispatch information, we have to actually change channels on our pager to get that, and it's different. So some of it's a training issue, and some of it's hopefully when they start broadcasting on 800, we won't have to have that issue, but they're still broadcasting on VHF. As far as parking lot stuff, I actually had a voicemail this morning from the guy from Reith Riley. He was tied up last week with the MDOT quotes, so he's hoping to get me numbers this week, and I'll get them to you as soon as I get it. But he came over, measured, and so we should have a good second number here shortly for the parking
good.
Lot stuff.
Yeah. Is Elmer's going to revisit that? I know that Village... manager was going to be talking to him about trying to work something out when they're here.
Right. I did text Kevin, and as soon as they have that meeting set up with Elmer's, they're going to include me in that, and so we can talk about coordinating ventures. So, but I have no, I don't have a. I'm sure that we'll have to get it requoted because it's been so long. But because nobody's holding quotes for very long right now with everything with going on with supply shortages and stuff. So we're starting our annual routine maintenance stuff up here in the new year next door. We got hose and ladder testing scheduled for next month. The truck committee is still working on their rescue truck. They did tell them, however, it's possible we might not see a truck until 2024. So it's just crazy trying to get a cab and chassis. There's a, yeah. So, and then we have to have the thing switched over, the box switched. Not much else really. Just a side note, I'm going to be taking a incident command class up in Torch Lake. In order for fire departments to receive federal grants or federal money, the officers have to be trained to a certain level, and this class will help me get to this level. And then once I have it, I'm hopefully put a couple of my other officers through it too. So that's to get FEMA grants and any federal monies that are available for training. So going to start that process. Those classes run from 5 to 10 p.m., so I may adjust my schedule a little on those days. It's the 3rd, 5th, 10th, and 12th. So, that's all I got.
Ken, question. A question was raised to me in the last couple of weeks, and I know you've explained it before, and I've simply probably just forgotten, but hazmat, if we have a hazardous call, and I'll use a plant with potentially with a freezer situation with everything, Are you prepared for that, or do you bring someone in?
Both. Okay. We prepare for our we have Tyvek suits and air packs that will give us a limited amount of time in a situation with the anhydrous ammonia over there. But once it we exceed those time limits, then it's going to be up to the professionals. And you know, our first call for something like that is going to be over to A1 in Kalkaska.
Okay. That's what I thought the answer was, but I wanted to be sure.
Yep. We've got enough time to go in and rescue a guy, get him out of the room. But as far as containing a leak and that kind of stuff, and that's going to be up to the big boys.
I know we had an incident years ago. And I was just trying to remember how that worked.
Yep.
Does the board have anything else for Ken?
I would just like to know, Ken, who's the one leaving so that I can just put a note in the
file? Ryan Porfinski.
Okay.
Moving over to Kalkaska.
Long drive.
Yeah, a little bit too long.
Anything else for Ken? Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Karen Highway Sewer Project. Performance Engineering is here. At this point, I have to recuse myself from the meeting and turn it over to Mike Szymanski because I have property in the district and am also negotiating an easement. So I will step aside, Mike.
Thanks, Darren. Okay, you have a copy of the, there was only two bids that were received. Romer Utility Services and Mats Underground. As you can see, there is a big difference between the two numbers. And I mean, when you go through all the detail, you can see some really dramatic differences. And I think in this report that they're highlighted in red. Dick, since you've done this before, can you do you have anything to add to this, or why some of these are so?
I don't have that spreadsheet in front of me. I'm looking for it, but
it's on the last page.
It's on the back of the last of the performance engineering letter memo.
Oh, got it. Yes. I don't know how they balance the unit prices. I mean, Brad can probably enlighten us, but as you can see on the first line item there, the inch and a half, you know, Mass Underground's $10, the other guy's $43.21. Now that, I think from my experience, that's just the guy picking numbers and balancing the bid. I don't know, what do you think, Brad? Is the highest quantity is the 6-inch, and the numbers would, you know, one's 28, one's 43.
So on the 1-inch, that's going to be a lot of the service lines, and that's where we're going to a lot more of the variability is going to come in. And Mats has done many projects where they've done the actual services. Romer is more of a contractor that does just big pipe, mainline, and that's what they're comfortable with. This one here is you're getting in, you're doing a lot more individual trenching and whatnot, and Romer would have to sub that part out. They don't have the contractors in-house to do that portion themselves. So that's one reason it would drive that cost up is it's all going to be a sub for them.
Okay, makes sense.
And then the 6-inch, I'm looking at the big quantity, the 6,000, and they're only about $4 a foot difference on those ones, so 10%. Not a huge difference there. It's just a big quantity, big unit cost.
Is there the volume, the contractor's volume between these two guys, one much bigger? I mean, sales-wise?
They're comparable. They kind of tend to be in a little bit different lanes. Romer typically would not go after a job as a prime. They're usually always a sub, and the way the directional drilling world works, where a general will come through and do all the, well, being the prime and doing all the coordination and doing all the intricacies of structures and connections and all that, where Romer would typically just do directional drilling and putting the pipe in the ground. But this job being primarily just a drilling job, they felt comfortable going after it as a prime, but then they have to sub out all the heavy equipment, excavating and whatnot. So they lost the advantage there where Matts can do everything in-house.
Okay. And Mike was amused by the mobilization and traffic number, obviously 50 versus 20.
Yeah.
I mean, that's typical, right? I mean, you see that.
It is, yeah. So typically you put a max on mobilization anyways and try to force them not to take everything on the front end. Yeah, it's typical. You can see that on jobs, those two items.
I'm also amazed where it says sanitary service assembly, about the fifth line, line number 19.
Yeah. Then that falls into where Romer would be utilizing a sub to do all that work. Matts Underground would do all that in-house. And Matts done many projects just like this one's constructed, and they have a comfort level on where that number's at.
Yeah, those line items, it's just those two line items almost make half the difference in the bid number.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I will highlight the highlighted red is arithmetic errors that when they did their calculation and summed it up, they were wrong on their numbers. So when we went back through and re-entered everything, the sum, that number when it's in red was slightly different than what their bid was. So their bid was wrong mathematically when they took their unit cost by the number of units.
Jeez,
they had a different number written down.
That sounds like something we used to do 30 years ago and
yeah.
It was by hand.
Well, they did it by hand, right. So that it was those that's what that represents.
That's unusual.
Yeah. So their actual bid number theoretically was a little bit lower than what they wrote on their thing. But that's all it highlighted.
Yeah, and too, Mike, I think that because Matts, we have experience with them as being they were the primary sub.
They were a sub on Maple Harbor project. Yeah. Did all the drilling.
And their performance was more
yes.
than acceptable on the last job they did for us.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
In our office, we've done, I bet you, close to a dozen jobs that are just like what this one is. And we've never had any issues with them. And none of the owners that they've worked for have had issues with them.
So how does this compare with our first numbers that we came up with? Remember when you put the project together?
He's close.
Well, I would say following unit cost and the outline as we went, they've pretty much been checking all the way. It's the numbers have moved around only because as we do, get the design done and really hone in on the actual design and quantities, that's what really changed the bottom line. But the unit cost is pretty well checking with what we originally had.
Okay.
Yeah, your engineer's estimate, as you put in the letter, was $693?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're, what, 5-6% from that, which, considering the way things are right now, we were very pleased to see that.
Good yeah. guessing.
Yes.
Shelley, you got any questions?
No.
No, maybe this is a nasty comment for these other guys. Maybe we should buy those guys a Microsoft Office package that has Excel.
Spreadsheet package.
Yeah. Those are the two numbers. Okay, I apologize for that. That was not nice. Okay. Anybody else have any questions up here? Dick, you're all set?
I'm all set.
Brad? You're all set?
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Mr. Derman, you got anything?
I'm staying quiet. There's nothing to say. You've already said it all. So.
Okay. So what we I need is a motion to accept Matts Underground bid.
Yeah, I'll make that motion to accept Matts Underground bid as presented and recommended by Performance Engineering at $738,293.
I will
Oh, sorry, Mike.
I will second that. Wait for Shelley to finish, because we have to do a roll call vote.
Thank you. All right, roll call vote. Schimansky?
Yes.
Boyspert, yes. Halts?
Yes.
Dorance has recused himself, and Matt Soper is absent.
Okay.
Okay, motion carried. It's Matt's Underground. Brad, do you get in touch with these guys now, or what do we do here?
Yeah, so the next step is get really finalize all the permitting and agreements, and then we'll let them know that we've made the award. They'll go through and get all their signatures, bonding in place, and have it all. I'll have three copies of originals, and then once I have that collected, I'll deliver that here for Shelley and the township to review. And then once you guys approve that or go through the signatures and complete that, then we can really give them the notice to proceed.
What, do you have an estimated time on that?
It takes a couple weeks, you know, at minimum. We're finalizing the Eagle permitting process, and with materials, once they get the notice to proceed, that they're going to have some time in getting that quantity of 6-inch pipe, but they'll probably have 3-inch, 4-inch, inch and a half readily available, if not in stock at their warehouse. Hopefully they can get started, you know, I would say best case a month from now, time we made through these different steps.
Okay.
There were no bid conditions relative to supply source or anything like that?
No, but we do, in our bid process, we gave them 60 days, which is still asking a lot for contractors' hold pricing with the way the things are right now, because a lot of their sources won't hold but, you know, maybe a couple weeks, mm-hmm. 30 days if you're lucky. So, you know, 60 days is really asking a lot, but that was in the contract that they had bid on.
And you have no problem with their performance bonding capability?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. And they buy a lot of pipe. They have sources and connections. They may be able to leverage that a little bit and mm-hmm. be able to hold their unit cost for on their end. So maybe they feel comfortable with that 60 days.
So, yeah, so they'll secure materials in lieu of the final document being signed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Okay, because then I have to set up, go back and reestablish the construction account with the bank. So when we actually do get the funding, we'll know so we can start paying the bills when they start doing the actual work.
And the bank is still holding the number that was negotiated?
As far as I know, they are, yes.
Okay.
So we're hoping the project itself may start end of July, first part of August,
Well, they'd love to start as soon as possible. I just think it's at least a month of going through and finalizing the last few things with Eagle and getting the agreements and bonding all that in place.
Okay.
And getting you guys' signatures on it.
Just to ask one, are the frost laws off on the streets? Are we going to start bringing this stuff down?
Yeah. Oh. So Karen Highway is all Class A all the way up to Milton.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There is no.
Up to Cherry Ave.
Knowing the weather around here, it could be snow.
They're more concerned about water, you know, with some of that ground is, so it's holding water up a little bit. So
yeah.
As summer comes, it'll go down.
Okay.
Good. Very pleased how that worked out.
Yes. Yes. Again, considering the way things are, I've worked with U of M and MDOT on projects, and everything is coming in 30% over estimate.
Yeah.
And just everywhere. So the fact that we came in 5-6% with an estimate, yes, very pleased.
Good. At this time, I'll turn the meeting back over to Dorance.
You're on.
Back to work.
Wanted to continue on with another point on the sewer project, not this project, but also just to follow up. Brad, last week, we had Northwest Generation out. They put the generator at the Maple Harbor location back up. I don't believe it's hooked, wired in, but I think the gas is hooked, it's set, and they were going to try to wire it in, I think, first good day. Maybe you know a little more about it.
Yeah, no, you're right. So I guess supply shortage, that particular model, it took forever to get. And actually, the contractor told me right now they're being told they're not getting any more of those models, or if they ordered one, they wouldn't get it until the end of 23 right now. That's how far behind they are. So it took a long time for that to come in. But as soon as it came in, they scheduled and got the install portion done, gas hooked up, and they're just waiting on their electrician to get a decent day. So hopefully this week he gets in there a few hours and has it completed on the electrical side, and the installation will be 100%.
So at that point, both of our lift stations will be on.
Back up,
so we're pretty much covered.
Yes.
Another interesting piece of information is Brad and I both have met with the village a couple of weeks ago. We've had interest from Great Lakes Packing in Milton Township of potentially talking to the village about moving their water into the facility that Elk Rapids Village has, the sewer plant. And they're aware of us building this other system. So they've wanted to talk to us about what the potential was. Would we have capacities, and could the village take the material? I guess I'm going to let Brad just give you a few of the details of what we kind of went over as far as the mechanics of it, because you understand that much better than I do.
Right. So the few components for really Great Lakes to be able to make any type of decision, and cost of being a big part of that, and logistics. And one component is A, can the village handle what they would be willing to send? So that was part of the meeting we had with the village, is to really sit down with them and ask them to do a feasibility. They can determine whether, A, they could handle flow and concentration, and if so, what that cost impact would be on the treatment side. But then from the township's end, is be able to facilitate the movement of that flow from really the Milton Township line where Great Lakes is located through the system to the treatment plant. And what they're wanting to know is what that cost would be. And right now we're working on the modeling of what their flows really could be, and could they taper their flows instead of having this 5-week high peak with high flows, or could they dial that back and store something on site and maybe do a more constant flow over a longer period. But what that does is impacts the pipe size to make that happen. So 6-inch can carry a lot of flow, but the amount of flows they're talking over a 5-6-7 week period may exceed what a 6-inch can handle. So we're really trying to, under a short timeline, determine if that pipe in fact would maybe need upsized, which would all be put back on Great Lakes to make a decision if they want to pursue that. But there's a lot of moving parts, and we're trying to really work through with everybody and come to some sort of determination in over a few week period here, if it makes sense.
And that 6-inch is the 6,020 feet that we're looking at.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. Tight timeline.
Yes.
Very. Yeah. But there's a tremendous cost savings if even they do it for the futures. I mean, by doing it once versus running a parallel pipe.
Right. They would have to rerun a whole separate pipe, right, over 6,000 feet.
they would opt out to pay the differential on a unit that we don't have established, right? In other words, if they were to say, yes, we want to do that, we put an 8-inch pipe in.
It's all on them, and the cost increase would be all on them.
Right, of course, but that would have to happen in the next...
Month.
Yes. Are they aware of that? Is the private EMS party aware of that?
It's a long shot, but they have concerns for long-term viability. Their cherry processing facility, obviously they peak in the summertime, but they do run product through all year round. It does make a lot of sense for them. They have other plants that are on city sewer.
Timing's everything, I guess.
Yeah.
It did raise quite a challenge, though, toward the end of this. And that would mean they would have to also run pipe from their facility to our pipe and then connect.
Right. Does that change your pump calculations?
That's what would trigger the 8-inch, you know, so then that would keep the pumps in line. Pumps, it ultimately comes down to the pressures that were generated by the pumps. They could contribute into the 6-inch at some rate, but right now what they're talking about would exceed that rate that we could allow them. And then unless we went to an 8-inch, then they could obviously send more flow and the pressures would stay lower and all the pumps would stay in their curve, essentially.
No changes needed for the mechanical.
Yes, right. So everything would stay the same.
The big issue is the village needs to, they were dealing or talking to their engineers about how much extra facility do they need or have to provide for this, and what would the cost look like to, to expand their facility. So they were going to try to get back to us right away. And I also spoke with Brian. Well, Shelley was there last week when we spoke, and they're hoping to get us an answer so Great Lakes can make a decision. Because for them, it's a great opportunity, but there's quite a bit of cost involved for them. But so they got to evaluate. And really what it comes down to is, right now with the way Eagle is, trying to negotiate watering, because they do surface, correct me where I'm wrong, but they do surface.
They do groundwater discharge, which is surface applied to the soil.
And as we all know, the rains, kind of like a septic system, as the grounds get more saturated, they have is it a sugar issue when they saturate?
I don't know what parameter they're having issues with, whether it's phosphate or the sugars, BOD strength.
But by going to a plant, it makes a lot of sense for them. And it also takes away the issue with Eagle, trying to deal with them on a permit basis. Because what I do know about cherry processing, or any processing right now in the state, is very difficult to get permits. So, and that makes it very difficult to process with. Their plan affects a lot of growers in this community. They hire a lot of people, so they have to look at, if they were to get shut down in the summertime, put them out of business. So they really, I think, are going to look at this very seriously. So I think that's a great opportunity for us long term. And being that we have the regional plant, it allows the village to expand and should be actually in their best interest from taking more product and then also having more income to their facility to carry the futures.
I will clarify is that they don't have a problem today. They're doing very good due diligence because Eagle is getting harder on all their permitting, and they're trying to be proactive and really get out in front of the difficulty of getting future permit approvals. And the plan is a great solution, and it gets them out of the business of working with Eagle directly and then facilitate that through a treatment plant. So they're really just looking forward is what they're trying to do, and this is a great opportunity for them to potentially have some cost savings and doing a good thing moving forward.
Well, similar to what we're trying to do with the sewer system is try to be more proactive, so that you don't wait for the problem, because when the problem happens, usually the results are bad and the repairs are much more expensive than if you get ahead of it. And in their case, it could be catastrophical. So, I mean, no, they don't have a problem, but they do realize, what long-term viability, how it looks, and what they need to do to get there. So we're hoping. And also on that note, We've been told by Brian as well that we would have a somewhat of an answer, or should have an answer on the REUs. They've got a village meeting on the 18th, and that would be the 70 additional REUs we need for the Karen Highway project. We've backed up and just talked to them about this project. We're not going to worry about the next one at this point because we just need to get this done. And we've been assured that he would have an answer for us. So what I wanted to warn the board about is we'll probably ask for a special meeting after their meeting so that we can purchase them. So we have them in place for the upcoming, well, obviously we're awarding a contract where you folks did earlier. So we need to have REUs and have that in place. We also have with them an agreement on an easement, which would continue the pipe from the farmlands across the village property and connect to the previous sewer line that's coming in and go to the plant. We have that agreement in front of them as well. We need an answer on, and then also the agreement on our management agreement and
O&M and MISDIG. That still hasn't been expanded into covering the newly expanded areas, so still trying to work through that, and then also to kind of carry into all this new Maple Heart or Karen Highway project as well.
So there's, hopefully we'll have some answers after the 18th, but most importantly, I'd like to get the REUs purchased. Also, Mike has an accounting situation with the money, so we'd like to be able to.
The Recovery Act first report is due April 30th, so I have to report back to the state. Did we spend the money yet? Are we going to spend it within that time between the now and the 30th? Of course, the way I've been reading with my township news that, of course, the state of Michigan website and portal to get in there is messed up again, as usual. So they were thinking about doing an extension, but they may or may not, but I got to be ready by the 30th to file the report.
So that's the other issue, and we'll have something, but just to let the board know, hoping that we get a positive response, we should be looking to have a meeting after that so we could have that done, just some cleanup. So that's what I have additional on sewer. Does anyone have anything else, questions? Brad, do you have anything to add to?
No, I don't. I think we covered a lot there.
All right, we'll move on. Island House property. All I have on that is Matt Zimmerman had asked for an extension of time for a response. His partner that's working on the case of the suit is out of town for a couple of weeks, so it's been extended toward the end of April, and I don't have the exact date in front of me. But at that point, we should have an answer going back on that. I don't know, Bill, do you have anything to add to the Island House property?
No, that's where it's at. It's in lawsuits. Andrew County Circuit Court. There's been a complaint filed, and the answer is pending.
So in the next few weeks, that'll be happening.
And there's been a judge assigned.
Yes, there has been, to my knowledge. Government Center. Jim Janice, myself, and Brian, and a gentleman, which his name I forgot, we reviewed the electrical needs for this building last week, did a walk around, looked at the panels, similar to probably what you've done, Dick. He was going to evaluate the existing generator that is at the police building presently, which I've been told is a 50 kW. Jim thinks that the police department's using 10 of it, and they're going to evaluate, is there enough electric or enough generation left to run this building? They should be getting an answer back. I spoke to Brian about it last week, and they're hoping to get an answer this week. We presently, I know you did the work with Grand Travers Diesel and Shoreline, and I was just going over some of the notes and stuff that you'd given me, and Shoreline had represented it as being we needed 50 kW or $300,000 for this building. And I mentioned to them what you'd said, Dick, that we needed a factor above that because it's a governmental building. Because I think the generator came in at $75,000.
75 kW, yes. It's the peak load demand plus another 50%.
50%, okay.
Yeah, right. That's why the peak load demand indicated a 50, and they strongly suggested, their mechanical engineering suggested 75. And if I remember correctly, and I'll walk out there as soon as the meeting's over, the Generac generator hooked up to the police department is a 17 kW unit.
Yeah, I don't know. I was told it was 50, but I'm sure they'll,
it's easy. It's printed on the outside of the cabinet, yep. So you should be able to figure that one out pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, either way, they're going to evaluate that and try to get an idea or direction on that. My only concern was, I said, if we're close on generation, I know where our problems lie is when the AC's running, we don't want to smoke one of those units because that costs us more in the generation to replace. So, I mean, we need to have enough.
Yeah, I am completely mystified by that whole conversation.
Well, you were,
I'm not a mechanical engineer, so.
You know. You were busier. You would have been in there with me, but I kind of went alone on that one. But
okay, we'll figure it out.
We'll see what they come up with, and we'll keep moving forward. I know that Ken said he had another bid coming in from Reith Riley on the asphalt, and Brian indicated to me that they felt pretty comfortable. They'd like to look at the asphalt costs as well.
Perfect.
So maybe they will come in with us as well and try to get this repaired depending on how the bids end up. I'm curious to see what Elmer's, if they even hold at that, just simply because of the costs and everything right now. But if they do, I'd be tickled to death, really. That seemed like a very reasonable situation. But we'll see what Reith Riley has to say.
And all you have to do, Dorrance, is walk out there and look right now, and you can see the problem.
Yeah, driving in tells you the problem. It's pretty evident. And basically, that problem that I see is a deep problem because it's sub and base and the ground we're built on. So it isn't just smearing some more asphalt on.
This is obviously the worst time of year to
right.
drive
out. It's real evident.
I met with the Reith Riley guy too, and he said typically, you should really set some money aside every 20, 25 years and said you're going to need to do this. So that's as far out as you're going to get.
Yeah. I'm just concerned if they do a really full evaluation how deep we go into this problem, because you can go very deep if you wish. When we built the fire building, I remember the builder, he had to go an extra 20 feet deep on the concrete pillars because there was no base.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised whatever they say. That's why I was very excited with Homer's bid, because I know they'll do a good job, and I was thinking, wow, I was expecting your numbers, Dick, really. I really thought that would be where it'd be. So we'll see on that.
We can get lucky twice here in a month.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. What do you mean, getting our generator after a year? That was...
Or getting and a good yeah. number on the parking lot.
Exactly.
More the parking lot than generator.
And then also, we just had an impromptu meeting with Brian on Friday, Shelley, myself, and Bill, but he did mention he wanted to ask us if we were interested in reforming the building authority, and we said yes, we're going to put it in front of the board, and we'd go so far as to ask for a couple of candidates to from our board to be appointed so that the village board would have a chance to appoint a couple of candidates to basically review the building similar to what you've been doing, Dick, and then also putting together, I would guess, kind of a plan as to what needs to be done each year and be able to share it with each board, but also just have a more of an organized of who's where and who's talking to who and try to get it set up so that we'd have something more formal. And also,
excellent idea that you got more than one person throwing in their opinion.
Yeah, I have a review because I know from this board we've been just as guilty. We haven't, until you came along, Dick, we hadn't reserved any funding for the building. So kudos to you, because at least we have some funds put aside, but how do we spend them and where and when is the important part now. So I'll open it up to who might want to be on that. It's wide open. The last one was the supervisor and the clerk, but anyone is welcome. I suggested Shelley and Dick. That would be my motion, which, hell, I'll just make that motion now. Shelley and Dick. Mike.
Second, Mike supports it.
Any further discussion?
Sounds like business as usual.
We'll put Matt on it, he's not here.
There we go.
Darn, I forgot about him.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Shelley, you okay with that?
Yes.
Perfect. Do we want to vote on that? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Matt Soper's not here. Too bad, because he would have been on there. So anyways, you can take that back to your board. We did it with authority. Now we're all in.
That was a formal event.
Anything further on building? Dick, do you have anything else? I know we had something to address out in front, and then the door.
There are leftover items on that approval last fall for repair. The rear entry door, the panic door's there. There might be one other item that we're going to get done here in the next, as soon as it gets above 50 degrees and stays above 50 degrees.
And then I know we had a discussion about the heating system this morning.
Not exactly
sure. Or cooling system, whatever you want to call it.
It seems to have...
It's cooled down here.
It has corrected itself. I'm not sure exactly how that thing works, and I'm not sure I ever will know, but it was set and working okay. I just might have been just a glitch this morning. I don't know.
Also, before you leave, I have a ceiling tile to show you.
See, it starts right now. It's leaking? Oh, no.
Okay, Shelley, you made my day. Thank you.
Sorry.
I've been beating him up on the heating system. Now you're going to take over with a rough. Perfect.
Actually, it's over in the village side, right in front of their conference room, and where the desks are, if you'll look up. So I don't know if that's one of the plumbing things like it was over by ours, or if...
No, that's not a plumbing thing.
Okay. Maybe we just put a dirty tile back up.
Let's hope.
Yeah, that's probably not the best news of the morning.
Well, we have had a lot of rain, Dick.
Yes. Well, then, right, that waterproofing system should hold up that we put on there 5 to 10 years. So, you know,
by our side where Karen's desk is and Debbie's, and that was really leaking.
Yeah, it's you've only seen one. You got one tile. Okay, I'll look at it.
Okay, we'll move on. County road projects for the summer of 2022. Just a reminder, we're going to do the Herman Road project, which is a cover coat, and that was $21,000, Mike?
Yep.
Williams Road, is it going to be covered? And that's $32,000. The Winters Road, the reason it's $6,000 is we're sharing that with Milton Township. So that's a shared cost. And then Indian Road is just, I thought we had all the roads. As I said last year, we found this piece of the road left in the township that is gravel. It's the extension of Indian Road. And the county will be doing some graveling on it, probably June-ish. The asphalt projects, I anticipate will happen mid to late June and early July is the way it looks. The county will be moving on that, so I'm sure the county will be letting everyone know when, but usually it's the June time frame, June, July.
From experience of past years, you need to make it perfectly clear here this morning that we do not control the notification of any of the property owners on
Correct.
Any of the road projects.
They are county operating, county run.
And this board has no control over that schedule.
No. Bert has the ultimate control. Right. So people have interest should call Bert Thompson, and he could give them a better indication. He'll usually share with us if it's a major, like when he did North Bay Shore Drive, when he had to have the road torn up for a long time, he'll try to come in and share with us. But this is just kind of normal procedure. The June, July time is road time.
So. Right. So Shelley, make a specific clear note in the minutes, the written minutes, that we don't control any of the scheduling.
We know nothing.
Right. Well, we know, but we, Bert controls that, not us.
Yeah. So anyways, anything further on road projects?
And those are chip and seal?
Yes. Well, with exception to Indian, which is just gravel. And also, the road millage will be on the, which ballot, Shelley?
August.
The renewal of the road millage. So just a reminder to everyone, I believe you've already filed it even.
We did, yep. So on the August ballot, look for the renewal of the existing road millage for another 6 years.
So that's just a reminder to get out. Anyways, and I'd hope that that will go forward because I think our roads are in pretty good shape. But what we found is doing preventive maintenance versus repairs and trying to bring back is much cheaper than doing, repairs. Also, I'm going to back up a little bit. These numbers are the total cost. We also have a cost share. You know, I'm going to be digging here, but I think it's around $34,000 that the county will give back on these numbers. So the numbers I just quoted will be costs, but then we have a county participation of around $34,000. That's our cost share.
So the numbers on the agenda are not net cost to us. It's
no.
Gross cost less county rebate.
The project cost.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, we're staying in budget. And I think people will realize or see that our roads are in good shape. And Bert has a plan. When he and I drive each November, we look at the roads. But he's kind of got it laid out. He and I talk about a three-year plan. So if we can stay on that. Now we realize with all the costs going up that it's going to cost more to do these roads, I'm sure. But we have picked up quite a little bit of taxable in the last few years doing our reassessment of our township. So Mike and I had a brief discussion. We thought that that might offset these costs. So we're hoping we're doing the right thing by maintaining the millage and not increasing it. So that was our thoughts on that. Township cleanup, Mike, you've got some comments or?
Yeah. This township cleanup deal costs the township about $3,000 a year that we don't, and then the revenue is, well, if you bring your appliance in and take the freon out, it'll cost you $35. For the last, I believe, 2 or 3 years, I think I've collected under $100 from that. And now if you working appliance, consumers will give you $50. They'll come and pick this thing up and give you a $50 check. The village also has on May 14th, I believe it's a super recycling, which is held over here. And it's just about 99% of the stuff that we would be getting over in our spring cleanup. Now, the only one difference is that it says a cubic yard of building materials. I am not going to go out there in a standing parking lot and measure one cubic yard of building material, okay? And I'm sort of a little getting fed up with people coming, complaining, and, you know, well, I pay township taxes, and I live in the village. Well, it's in front of your house. Well, they still bring it over there. But, and I think it's a duplication of effort. The curbside pickup for the village is scheduled, I think, for May 28th. Which happens to be Memorial Weekend. So I don't know.
What's May 14th?
Super recycling. Computer stuff, there's a flyer out.
Oh, TVs and all electronics.
TVs, appliances,
stuff,
no tires, no paint. That's a separate hazardous waste collection by Macomb County. Antrim County.
Okay.
And that happens 3 times a year. And that hazardous waste is going to be here in June at the Elk Rapids.
At June 11th at 8 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Yeah.
At the Village DPW.
And since I've been doing this for so many years, I am fed up with people complaining to me. I get enough abuse when I mail out the tax bills that I raised everybody's taxes. which I can't do because you got to vote on it. So.
Are you suggesting that we vacate this service?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you. Better be said.
Just wanted to clarify.
Well, I think in the case of this one, when Mike and I were talking about it, there's quite a little bit of duplication between the village and this hazardous one on June 11th. I mean, I think we're fairly well covered.
Plus, I can tell you this year, you're going to get a hit, you're going to get hit with a fuel charge because of the diesel prices. And those American waste trucks don't run on gas, they run on diesel.
So you said there was very little volume in the last year or two?
Well, very little revenue collected to offset about the 25 to 3 grand a year that it costs.
Actually, it's more like 5,000 some a year that we pay American waste.
But we don't have a millage or nothing for that. It comes out of the general fund.
Yeah, when I was looking at the other options that are around us, I think the one I think of the most interest is the Antrim County one, because they're taking the hazardous, and that's where folks can get rid of tires, old paint, and all that kind of stuff. That's the one that, I mean, if we're just talking about brush and that type of thing, that's something I think that's another issue. But having this hazardous one, that's one I'd be interested in, trying to clean out whatever the garage or whatever else you've got that you can get rid of.
So this whole service was not to make money or to cover our cost. It was a courtesy to township residents to have one day that they could do their spring cleanup and get rid of their stuff. But I am kind of with Mike on that, you know, before we were the only option and the village did their curbside pickup, but now with Green ER doing the recycling during the same month and covering the same types of stuff that we were covering and hazardous waste day, I mean, there's other things, like they said, duplication of services. So, you know, I kind of agree with Mike. We've got all these different dates for different things, but if we help promote the Green ER recycling as opposed to township spring cleanup, we can see how it goes for a year.
Are you suggesting, Mike, are you going to make the motion that we vacate that? I would support that.
Do we need a motion or?
No, I don't think so. I think we just.
Mr. Dermott, do we need a motion to do that?
When you approve, do you by motion approve? It's in the budget, right?
Yes.
I think you should have a motion.
To vacate that line item.
Because you're going to change it out of the budget.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make the motion that we vacate the township spring cleanup for this year.
Support.
Okay, any further discussion? And I would back that up with the other
supporting
Antrim County hazardous waste. It's on June 11th at 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. The village is part of it, just as a kind of a explanation as to why.
And if you missed the hazardous waste, they have 3 of them a year. They have one in Mansalona. They're having one here, and I think they have another one somewhere else.
Bel Air.
So they have 3 times.
And that's the one that's really critical, because folks just don't have a place to go. I'm glad the county's doing it, because it gives an option for everyone. Okay. We don't need to do a roll call on this. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Matt Soper is absent. Okay, we'll move on. Attorney's report.
Well, you've covered most of it already on this. Short-term rentals, nothing new to report at the state level. Antrim County Sheriff's Department, you've already talked about that. Farmland preservation, nothing new in this township. I believe Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy is scheduled to close at a large conservation easement along 31 this spring. MMR, you've already heard about that. Sewer SAD, you've heard about. Amended sewer agreement, you've heard about. It's pending, as is the REU purchase. The road millage renewal is in August, and you've heard about that. Orchard View site condos, On Elk Lake, off Elk Lake Road, Larry is continuing to have communication back and forth with him. I have nothing new to report for myself. Hertha, that's Dick. Cemetery, defer to Shelley and Dorrance on that, as well as Tart Trail, to defer to Shelley. And nothing new on the marijuana licensing within Antrim County. That's it.
Anything new on the short-term rental in the Senate?
No, that's what, first thing. I have nothing new to report at the state level. I've not heard anything or seen anything.
Okay, that's what I was curious about. Anything that's, as always, kind of a hot topic. I guess we'll move on. Any questions for Bill? Okay, we'll move on. Board announcements. The only thing I was going to bring to the board's attention, if you haven't seen it, Bill was very close. Yes, there will be some activity in farmland in Acme Township, but also it appears that the Wilcox Palmer Shaw Edition, which is known as the Gun Club, is being sold to the Conservancy. It was in one of the books, so I just let folks know that the property that was cleaned up as the township property looks like it's moving on to the Conservancy. So not sure what the plans are there, but it pretty much was in their booklet, so it must be actually happening. So just a word to everybody on that. It looks like the property is moving out of the ownership. So maybe the Grand Traverse Land Conservancy has some other plans for it. I have not heard from them on that, so just kind of up to date. Shelley, do you have anything else?
No.
Anything on elections?
No. Elk Rapids Township does not have a May election. Many other townships do, but they're school oriented. So we do not, and our next election will be in August, first part of August. So we're going to gear up for that.
Okay. Mike, anything?
Special assessment software gets installed this month. And training.
Okay, and that'll allow you to do what?
Log all the special assessments in the system, calculate a payoff date at any time. And I also noticed in some other effect, it also appears on our BSNA online. If you were to pull your property up, you can tell if that property has a special assessment on it.
That's just helpful.
Another special tab, and that's one of the questions that Riverside used to, when they call and say, is there any specials? Can you go on BSNA online, we'll tell you.
You're getting to the point where you won't even need a phone.
I would like to rip the one out of there now.
Dick, anything on Hertha or?
Yeah, I got something on Hertha, but let me ask, follow up on what you just said. So the new sewer district that's being formed that we just awarded the contract for this, the each one of the members of that district have the option to pay that up front. Right, and it would show yeah. up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what on that kind of software.
They can pay it up front, or just like we're doing with Maple Harbor. They can pay it off any time during the course of the 10 years.
Right.
So all you got to do is go back into BSNA online, go down to the tab that says special assessments, and you can do a payoff date.
Okay.
And now, as soon as it gets installed on the 18th, the 25th is training, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get in there and going to add in Maple Harbor that's already on there.
Okay.
Which is already going into their fifth year, I believe.
Yeah. See, we had payoffs on that one as well, but yeah. Mike had to calculate right. it all.
Hertha, the board has taken action, and they're actively hunting for grants on those windows, and I think they've stumbled on to if we can meet certain conditions of reflectivity and energy transfer, there's a state grant available. So it looks like as they pursue this, the windows will most likely get done or the project will move ahead. I've got to get with the contractor that had the best number and see if the specifications meet the grant requirements, but I believe they do.
And just to stop Mike from asking the question, will they need our money at that point?
The answer
going is... Going to beat you to that?
Yes.
Yes, still.
Our money pushes them closer to the end if they get this grant, even if we have to modify how we're fixing or replacing these windows, the grant would probably, I don't know the details on the application, cover the rest of the expense. So that's all it takes to get the job going.
The amount is in the budget, I just wanted.
You're hoping you can keep it.
But with, once again, with the contracting world we're in, this may not get done this year, it may get done next spring, type of thing.
Well, as long as there's some light in the tunnel, it's better than what it was 6 months ago.
And I do believe, too, that the vendors have changed on the alcohol service from Siren to Cellar 152.
Okay.
Not that anybody needs to know that, but I mean, if you have an event there, there'll be.
Are they doing public events now?
They are.
I assume.
They've sold it, so they're generating revenue.
Okay. Bill, have you got any?
Nothing further.
Brad, anything?
No, nothing.
Follow-up? Okay. Nobody objects, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Ken?
I'm gonna go look.
I